Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. On this channel, we overdose on red pills. I'm actually lying to you. It's impossible to overdose on red pills. You can never take too many red pills. And for those who don't know what a red pill is the truth. It comes from the movie The Matrix. I'm reading all the comments people are writing on all of my channels. Some of my videos are banned from YouTube. You can view them on my website at historyreviewed.com. My website is my central index for all of my videos. You can search for any videos I've done on my website, regardless of where I've put them. There's an unceasing campaign to ban my videos in the following European countries: France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic. The total population of those countries is 260 million. Europeans are welcome to come to my historyreviewed.com website to view these videos. Please read the description below the video. You will find the link to my website and all my videos there. There are also links in the description to my website where you can subscribe and donate. I'm looking for subscribers who are willing to subscribe to my channel for $5 per month. Thank you very much. Since the election of Donald Trump and his presidential campaign, there's still an unceasing media hate campaign against Trump. Though, interestingly enough, it seems in April, he's done a 180-degree turn on so many things, and there are many people who are worried that he has sold them out, that they've wasted their votes. And even Alex Linda and I were discussing it yesterday. But we'll get back to Donald Trump and what has happened and what he's done and not done. Now, one of the people on the mass media who likes to make fun of Donald Trump is a guy called Trevor Noah. And Trevor Noah is a colored from South Africa. Now, in South Africa, the term colored has a particular meaning. In America, they regard it as black. But that's just a little game the liberals and Jews like to play. Obama, for example, is also a colored. Anyway, Trevor Noah is a South African comedian who's hit the super big time. And now he's got this show in America, The Daily Show, and he's busy doing his comedy thing there. Now, the rise of this Trevor Noah is an interesting thing. And the first time I heard the name Trevor Noah, it was from a black co-worker when I was still working in the corporate world. And this black co-worker was telling me about this extremely funny South African comedian. And this black co-worker gave me two videos of comedy skits that he'd done. And, you know, it's interesting that blacks can make racial jokes. Non-whites can make racial jokes, but whites can't. In Trevor Noah's stuff, he's got some skits where he talks about other races and he makes fun of them. And apparently it's okay for non-whites to poke fun at anybody the hell they want, but whites can't poke fun at anybody at all. So when I first heard of Trevor Noah, and the blacks really liked his humor, they love his humor, and they were starting to tell me about him. This black person then went on to tell me quite proudly that they had gone to the same school as Trevor Noah and that they'd been separated by about 2 years. And in my discussions with this black, I then learned that this school that the black had gone to was a Jewish school. So this black person's father had decided to put them in this school and they would get a good education in this Jewish school. But Trevor Noah was also there. And that was a point of pride for this black person. So I heard all of this some years before Trevor Noah hit the big time. Now, this Trevor Noah is a very interesting fellow because he's quite different to your normal black South African or colored South African even. Because his father is a white man from Switzerland and his mother is a black woman from the Khoza tribe here in South Africa. Now the Khoza tribe are a tribe in the Eastern Cape, so they come from the southeast of South Africa. And most of the politicians in the African National Congress, the ruling party of South Africa, were Khoisas. And Nelson Mandela himself was a Khoisa. He might even have been a kind of a Khoisa chief. He might have had a bit of rank in the Khoisa tribe. So the Khoisas and the Boers actually had their wars, their frontier wars, long ago in the Eastern Cape. This is where blacks and whites met. And interestingly, more to the north of these Khoisas are the Zulus. And the Zulus and Khoisas had wars and animosity between each other. And the Zulus actually looked down on the Khoisas. The Zulus regard themselves as more manly than the Khoisas. And long time ago, when I started my African Crisis website, I actually had some young Zulus come to me. And these young Zulus came and they wanted to form a political party. And you know what their complaint was? Their complaint was that Zulus would never be allowed to rise through the ranks of the ANC. And these young Zulus were very, very serious. I met with them on a number of occasions and we did a few things together. And they told me that no Zulu would ever be allowed to rule South Africa. So whenever you hear people talk about President Jacob Zuma, who is a Zulu, you need to keep in mind that somehow this Zulu rose in an organization that was dominated by Khoisas. And this guy has a particular style of dealing with these people. Zuma has to be very cunning and very clever to be able to survive in an organization where he is outnumbered. And somehow he's managed to always win the people over onto his side because the ANC used to be totally Khoisa dominated. Perhaps that is changing now, I don't know. But it's just a very important point to remember whenever you hear them talk about Jacob Zuma. He's actually operating very successfully in an organization dominated by other tribes. So he must have a lot of strong skills that enable him to get their trust. Now, Trevor Noah has made a lot of fun of Donald Trump. I've seen some of the things he's done. And he's busy doing work for, let's call it, his employers. He's busy mocking Donald Trump in line with all other liberals and liberal scum and Jews in America. In fact, Trevor Noah has said something along the lines that he's very political, something like that. And I'm sure he has a mission. So Trevor Noah is the most popular South African that Americans get to see regularly. So if we go to his Wikipedia page and we read, it says early life. Trevor Noah was born on 20 February 1984 in Johannesburg. His mother, Patricia, and she's got a long African middle name, Noah, is black and of Xhosa ethnicity. And his father, Robert, is white and of Swiss German ethnicity. When Trevor was 10 or 11 years old, his mother, although not the rest of the family, chose to convert to Judaism. Noah spent his early life in the private school of Maryvale College, a Catholic school in Johannesburg. During his childhood, he attended Roman Catholic Church every Sunday. His parents' relationship was illegal at the time of his birth under apartheid, and in brackets, extrasexual relations and marriages were legalized under the Amended Immorality Act of 1985, a year after Noah was born. And just a point, Trevor Noah says that he was a crime, which is true. He was a crime under apartheid. His mother was jailed and fined by the South African white minority government, and his father later moved back to Switzerland. Noah himself was raised by his mother and maternal grandmother, Normalizo Frances Noah. I must tell you, his mother's surname of Noah doesn't sound right to me. That is not a normal kind of black African name. So it would be interesting to know how her name came to be Noah, because it's got a bit of a biblical connotation to it. So whether it's related to some kind of church or something, or whether there was a name change somewhere along the line. Because I don't see a reference to it, but this is a bit of a strange name, Noah. Where does it come from? Now, just a little bit more about Trevor Noah from his Wikipedia article. It says, in 2011, he moved to the United States. And then in 2012, he became the first South African stand-up comedian to appear on The Tonight Show. And it goes on to say he became the first to appear on The Late Show with David Letterman. And then it goes on to say there was a documentary about him called You Laugh, But It's True. And then also it says he starred in the one-man comedy show Trevor Noah, The Racist. Ah, and that rings a bell. I've seen that comedy skit. This is the one about where he makes fun of other races. He makes fun of other races, coloreds, Indians, and even whites. But of course, if a white man were to do that, ooh, that would be a big problem. And it says in 2013 he was a guest on BBC Two's comedy panel show QI. He was also a panelist on Channel 4 and so on. Now, on his Wikipedia page, it has a section called Controversy. It says, within hours of his being announced as Stewart's successor, this is on The Daily Show, attention was drawn on the internet to several jokes that Noah had made through his Twitter account, which were criticized as being offensive to women and Jews, and to be making fun of the Holocaust. Noah responded by tweeting, "To reduce my views to a handful of jokes that didn't land is not a true reflection of my character nor my evolution as a comedian." Comedy Central stood behind Noah, saying in a statement, quotes, "Like many comedians, Trevor Noah pushes boundaries. He is provocative and spares no one, himself included. To judge him or his comedy based on a handful of jokes is unfair. Trevor is a talented comedian with a bright future at Comedy Central," end quotes. Then it mentions somebody else, Mary Cluck. And you spell her name K-L-U-K. And this is someone we've come across before in the video that I did about Snowy Smith and how the Jews were hunting down Snowy Smith and trying to get him in trouble for things that he put out on email about Jews. So that is my video, How to Fight Jews Legally. Now this Mary Cluck was also involved in Snowy Smith's trial, and she is the top person representing the South African Jewish Board of Deputies. This is the highest Jewish organization in South Africa. And it went after Snowy Smith, and it's due to go after a Muslim woman for some things she said about Jews. Anyway, it continues here. It says, Mary Cluck, chairperson of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, said that the jokes were not signs of anti-Jewish prejudice and that they were part of Noah's style of comedy. Now, there are some Twitter jokes that Trevor Noah made about hitting a Jewish boy while he was driving in his German car. But it's interesting that the Jews are so soft on Trevor Noah, because I'm sure if other people had said this, they would have been much more upset. Now, if you go further into Trevor Noah's Wikipedia article, it starts off by saying he's a polyglot. He can speak several languages, English, Xhosa, Zulu, carries on Afrikaans, German, Spanish. Then it says, in 1992, Noah's mother was married to Ngivaseni and Shingangi. And, you know, that is now a normal African, black African name, that surname. That is why it's so strange that his mother's surname is Noah. And it says, and while married, they had two sons, Andrew and Isaac. So Noah's mother got married to another black guy in 1992. And it says Trevor and his mother were physically abused by Shingangi. She divorced him in 1996. In 2009, after she became engaged to another guy whose surname is Khoza, K-H-O-Z-A, Shingangi shot her in the leg and through the back of the head, stopping when the gun jammed. She survived as the bullet through her head avoided the brain and all major nerves and blood vessels, exiting with minor damage to her nostril. When Noah confronted him on the phone about the shooting, Shingangi threatened his life, prompting Noah to leave Johannesburg for Los Angeles. In 2011, Shingangi was convicted of attempted murder and sentenced the following year to 3 years of correctional supervision. Noah stated that he hoped the attention surrounding the incident would help the domestic abuse problem in South Africa. And it quotes him, "For years, my mother reached out to police for help with domestic abuse, and nothing was ever done. This is the norm in South Africa. Dockets went missing and cases never went to court." End quotes. Noah has described himself as being progressive and having a global perspective, which to me sounds like a lot of liberalism and globalism. Progressive is normally the name that they use for people who are communists. It's just a way of hiding that you have got communist leanings. But liberals also use that term. That's because liberals open the doors to communists. Anyway, it continues. However, he has clarified that he considers himself a progressive person, but not a, quotes, political progressive. So he uses progressive, but doesn't use progressive. And prefers not to be characterized as either right or left in the context of US partisanship. Well, so he's not left, but he's not right, but he's progressive, but he's not politically progressive. Sounds like a lot of jumping around to me. When I mentioned to Alex Linder the one day that Trevor Noah comes from South Africa, Alex Linder said to me that from what he can see, Americans are not really warming to Trevor Noah. He's not going down well in America. But it is interesting here that this violence in the family seems to, according to the Wikipedia article, be one of the reasons why he dashed off to Los Angeles. But the interesting thing in this article is that it says he went to Maryvale School. And yet this black that I worked with would boast about the fact that they had been in the same school and that the school was Jewish. So the black person described the school as Jewish. I unfortunately cannot remember the name of the school, but the black said that the school was Jewish and it was in Johannesburg. So I don't know if he's been to more than one school. I don't know whether there are other issues around the school. I don't know. But anyway, that was where I heard that he'd been in a Jewish school. Now, in the days when I chatted to my Jewish pal here in Johannesburg, there was a time when he came up and he started telling me about a black person who'd converted to Judaism. Now, this, I think, is completely not linked to Trevor Noah or any of these things. This is something else, but I just want to tell it because it was the first time that I'd heard from a Jew that a black had converted to Judaism. And now seeing that Trevor Noah's mother had converted to Judaism, which I only found out now, that is only the second time that I've heard of a black in South Africa converting to Judaism. Now, like I say, in the days when I was very friendly with the Jews, and even talking to my Jewish pal in Jerusalem, they told me that to convert to Judaism is not easy at all. It's not like Christianity where you suddenly say, I take Jesus into my life, and maybe at best you go and get baptized, and your baptism is it, and now you are a Christian. Judaism is not like that at all. To become a Jew, you have to go through quite a long story. It's not something that you just do in a day. These Jews who want white people to let all non-whites into their societies with ease, these Jews, when it comes to allowing non-whites into their society, it becomes a whole different story. Converting to Judaism is quite a thing, and you go through quite a process, and it's not something you do quickly. So, in order to convert to Judaism, you have to have a deep interest in these Jews to be able to jump through all the hoops that you need to get through in order to become a Jew. That is, if you're not born a Jew, that is. Now, strictly speaking, according to the Jews, you're a Jew if your mother is a Jew. So, if your father's Jewish but your mother isn't, then sort of technically you're not a Jew. But if your mother and father are Jewish, then there's no doubt that you're a Jew. Now, in the case of Trevor Noah, everywhere where I've looked, you get this mention that his father was Swiss, and you get the idea that he was German Swiss. But it never mentions his surname. You can't find his father's surname. They don't list that. I've not seen that anywhere. All you hear is that his father is Robert. And when he does stage shows and he talks about his father, the way he mimics his father, it definitely comes across that he's almost a Germanic type. He's that sort of Swiss type. Now, in South Africa, you get a lot of Jews who, when you find out their background, you will find that these Jews were Jews who left Germany in 1937 and 1938, and some in 1939. There are quite a lot of famous people in South Africa whose background is Jewish. An example is Helen Ziller. People outside South Africa might not know Helen Ziller, but in South Africa, she's a household name. And if you looked into her history on Wikipedia, her mother and father were Jews who came from Germany just before World War II. You will be surprised how many Jews got out of Germany before the first shot of World War II was fired. In fact, Edwin, who did a website called Adolf the Great, Edwin told me that probably 70% of the Germans left Germany before World War II started. Something along those lines. I'll double check with him. But you'll find that the Jews were leaving Germany before the first shots of World War II were fired. And there are quite a number of famous South Africans, and if you look at their parents, you'll find that they were German Jews who came here either before 1939 or in 1939. And Helen Ziller is one of them. Her mother and her father are Jewish. But if you go to her Wikipedia page now, you will not see any mention of her parents. But there were those details on there. It was on her Wikipedia page when I looked some time back, quite some time back. But what it will tell you is that she does speak German. She does speak German. Lots of German Jews came to South Africa. So, with regard to Trevor Noah, it is not inconceivable that his father might be a German Jew. It's not inconceivable. I have no proof, but it's not inconceivable. Now, just to return to the story of my Jewish pal. He said to me that a very important black person had converted to Judaism. And I tried to question him. I said to him, "Ah, is it a politician? Is it a businessman? Is it a name I know?" And my Jewish pal refused to tell me who this black person was. All he said was it was a black man. An important black man had converted to Judaism. But he would not tell me if he was a businessman, if he was one of the super rich, like Cyril Ramaphosa or Tokyo Sekwali. He didn't confirm whether it was a politician or a businessman. And to be honest with you, I'm torn between the two. I can't make up my mind whether it is more likely to have been a politician than a businessman. I can't tell you. But he told me that this important black man had converted to Judaism recently, and I'm talking now back in 2010, 2011, 2012. That was when this important black man had converted to Judaism, and he would refuse to tell me who he is. But my Jewish pal was very proud of this black man who'd converted to Judaism. And that was the first time I'd heard of a black South African converting to Judaism. There is also a tribe that claims to have links to the Jews. It's a tribe up, I think, in the north of South Africa. There's a tribe who claim they have got links to the Jews. But their claim is supposed to be an ancient one. It's not a modern one. But I'm talking about in the modern day when people are converting to Judaism. So now it becomes interesting. Why would a black person convert to Judaism? Why would they go through all those loopholes and go to all that effort to convert to Judaism? If it's maybe money or business related, that might be a good motivation. That might be the real motivation. That now this black feels that he gets in with the Jews, whom he sees as white. Now he's one of them, and now he's going to get richer still, maybe. So that might be a motivation. But other than that, I wouldn't know of any reason other than business, but maybe also politics. Maybe also politics, as to why a black would convert to Judaism. Why would you jump through all those hoops? And politics could be another reason. Politics could be another reason. It would have to be a special reason, but politics could be another reason. So if we go back to Trevor Noah's mother, she suddenly decides to convert to Judaism. Isn't that interesting that Trevor Noah's mother also goes through jumping through all those hoops in order to convert to Judaism? And that to me adds to the question as to whether Trevor Noah's father is a Jew, a German Jew living in Switzerland. That is what I would wonder and ponder. And it gets a little bit more interesting because it turns out that in the Jerusalem Post, they have a very interesting article about Trevor Noah. Here's the article from the Jerusalem Post, and it's dated November 23, 2016. So on this Jerusalem Post, it's got a picture of Trevor Noah, and it says the following, quotes, "I lived my life as a part white, part black, but then sometimes Jewish kid, and I didn't understand because she didn't make me convert," says the comedian. So he claims he didn't convert to Judaism. And it goes on to say the following. "It's hard to imagine that the Daily Show host, Trevor Noah, would have a problem getting people to come to his party. But that is precisely what happened to him as a 13-year-old. When his Jewish mom insisted he have a bar mitzvah." Now, just to pause there, a bar mitzvah is a coming of age. In an interview with NPR's Terry Ross, Noah spoke of his mom's Jewish identity. Then in brackets, she converted to the religion when he was a child. Close brackets. And struggles as a mixed-race person under apartheid in South Africa, where interracial relationships are banned. Quotes, I lived my life as a part white, part black, but then sometimes Jewish kid, and I didn't understand because she didn't make me convert. When I turned 13, she threw me a bar mitzvah. But nobody came because nobody knew what the hell that was. I only had black friends. No one knows what the hell you're doing. So it was just me and my mom, and she's celebrating, and she's reading things to me in Hebrew, end quotes, he said. Despite the awkwardness, growing up with Jewish traditions seems to have been a positive experience for Noah, who called it a gift. That was the gift my mother gave me. I think that was part of her religious pursuits. My mother's always looking for answers. She's always searching for new information, he said. Noah's sweet story about his Jewish experience may come as a surprise to some. Last year, Jewish groups slammed the late-night host for postings on social media in which he criticized Israel and made jokes that some said relied on negative stereotypes about Jews. So I must say, I don't know exactly what it would mean if his father was Jewish and if his mother later converted to Judaism. Possibly that would still not make him a Jew because he wasn't born a Jew. But it is very interesting that he got a lot of breaks in America. So even if he isn't actually Jewish, there seems to be enough Jewishness around him, and it seems to be paying dividends for him. There was a report that he will be paid $3 million for writing his memoirs, and Pan Macmillan will be printing it. So his book seems to have come out late in 2016, and they claim that his audiobook is a bestseller in the US, and his book is called Trevor Noah, Born a Crime. Now, if you look into the life of Whoopi Goldberg, also another black comedian from the USA, if you read about her, you'll hear that her mother thought that a Jewish name would help her in Hollywood. In this article on time.com, it says, what's in a name? Karen Johnson to Whoopi Goldberg. And the article is 16th September 2011. It says, is it cliche for a comedian to take her stage name from a practical joke device? Not if you're Whoopi Goldberg. Born Karen Elaine Johnson in 1955, the actress and The View co-host was less than shy about her bodily functions. Quotes, if you get a little gassy, you've got to let it go. So people used to say to me, you're like a Whoopi cushion, and that's where the name came from. Whoopi's mother thought that a Jewish surname would get her further in Hollywood, so she replaced Johnson with Goldberg, and just like that, a thousand bad puns and a very successful career were born. So, look at this. Whoopi Goldberg's mother, thought that being Jewish or having a Jewish-sounding name would help her. And there are people who would say it did. So maybe there's a little bit more to Trevor Noah's mother converting to Judaism than meets the eye. So he might not be Jewish exactly, but like Whoopi Goldberg, who's also not Jewish exactly, you can see that at least the blacks think that being somehow Jew-related gets you a lot of money. And maybe that's true. And the story about Whoopi Goldberg is also repeated in the Jewish Chronicle. So the Jewish Chronicle has an article entitled Whoopi Goldberg, I'm Jewish and I Talk to God. So further down in the article, she says, I just know I am Jewish. I practice nothing. I don't go to temple, but I do remember the holidays. Religion is a lot of work. It's exhausting. So I keep it simple. I have a pretty good relationship with God. We talk. And then she goes and repeats some of the other stuff that I've already read to you. Anyhow, so just sitting back and thinking about Trevor Noah's career on The Daily Show, it does look to me as if there's some Jewishness going on there. And those Democrats and those rich liberals who own the media, they don't like Trump, and they have someone like this who's always trying to attack him. So you wonder how much of this is art and how much of it is politics and how much of it is Jewish business. There seems to be a little bit of a mixture between all these things. But somewhere in the mixture, money always appears, doesn't it? So maybe if you're black and you're Jewish, you can get rich. But it is also funny that in Israel, that you'll find film footage of the, quotes, white Jews of Israel wanting to chase the blacks out of Israel. Kind of funny, isn't it? But there's one other thing I'd like to mention. That black who was in that school, that same school as Trevor Noah, we got talking about the Jews, and I told them what I knew about the Jews. And one day, this black came back to me with a very strange question. And the question was this. Is it true that Jewish fathers take the virginity of their daughters? And when this black came to me and asked me this question, I just about fell on my back. I'd never heard of anything like that before. So I said that, as far as I know from what I've read, I've never heard of anything like it at all. So I then asked this black, what makes you ask that question? What makes you think that Jews do this? And this black, who lives in a township, said to me that it is something that the blacks in the townships talk about. It seems to be that the blacks believe that Jews or Jewish fathers are allowed to take the virginity of their daughters. And that was the source for it. So it is a very interesting question, but it's not one that I dismiss easily, because Jews in South Africa are very rich compared to the other whites who live here. And even my Jewish friend in Israel, when we spoke about South African Jews moving to Israel, my Jewish friend in Israel said to me that the Jews that come from South Africa are among the richest Jews that come to Israel. So the Jews have made a good life here. They've done well in South Africa. And the Boers and the whites treated them very well. There's no question about that. And these Jews now move to Israel with all that money that they made in South Africa. But these Jews have got lots of servants, they've got money, they've got blacks around them all the time. And I have wondered whether it is possible that these servants who live in their houses, who deal with them, that these servants maybe have picked up something about their traditions that they don't talk about or that is not known about to whites outside. And I know that blacks who work for us, that they pick up and find out a lot of information about us. And sometimes it can be very personal information. Years ago, my mother told me that blacks in our neighborhood who were working for whites would sometimes even tell her the sexual habits of the whites. And a black might say, "You see that house over there, that white man who lives in that house over there, he has sex with that white woman who lives in that house over there." And blacks would make such statements. They would know things about the private lives of whites. So this makes me think that this notion that Jewish fathers might take their daughter's virginity, maybe this is something that blacks know about that we wouldn't know about or that we've never found out about. And I was told that this is what blacks in the townships talk about. So that is a funny one for you. Look, the Jews are a weird people. And when it comes to circumcision and the stories around circumcision, you'll find some really weird stuff about Jews and circumcision. And some of the things those Jewish rabbis get up to in the circumcision and after the circumcision is pretty freaky stuff. And there have been some very weird reports from New York in that regard. So there's some creepy stuff there. The more you dig into their stuff, the more you'll see it gets weird. In the Bible, there's an interesting verse. Now, the Bible is supposed to have been written by the Jews. And if you go and look at Genesis 19:34, I'm going to read to you the New International Version because it makes for an easier read than the King James Version. But it reads as follows. "The next day, the older daughter said to the younger, quotes, 'Last night I slept with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and sleep with him, so we can preserve our family line through our father.'" So that comes straight out of the Bible about daughters sleeping with their father. But I must admit, the question that Black asked me is one that I've pondered ever since, and I have no answer to it. But it is very interesting that this is the subject of gossip among Blacks. So where did the Blacks come across such a thing? I know that in the Talmud, there's all kinds of weird stuff about sex with boys, sex with babies. Those kinds of things are allowed in the Talmud. And wherever the Jews are, you will find weird sex, like really creepy stuff. You will find, for example, there was in England a prominent politician called Lord Jenner. And the British upper classes are infested with Jews. and this Lord Janna had sex with young boys in Parliament. And in round about 2015, when I first got onto Twitter, there was a huge campaign. They were trying to get this guy into court, and there were apparently more than 20 witnesses who had come forward to say that this Jewish lord had had sex with them when they were young boys, and some of that sex was in Parliament. And if you dig into the British politics, you'll see that sex with boys and Parliament in Britain, that these two things go hand in hand. So there was this huge campaign to get this Jewish Lord Janna on trial, and they'd been trying to do this, I think, for over 20 years. I think for almost 25 years, they'd been trying to get him on trial, and he'd always used his connections to always get out of it. And then when he was due to go on trial, then they came up with all sorts of excuses. Anyway, the next thing you knew is Lord Janna died. He died in his sleep at home, and that was pretty much that. I don't know all the details of what followed. I believe they were going to have a hearing, even though he was not of sound mind. Apparently, his mental state was not good, but as other people pointed out, his mental state was good enough to not forget to file his tax returns. Anyhow, he died very conveniently, and I think that pretty much is where it ended. It's too bad. I don't know if any of those hearings continued or whether everybody just lost interest and went home. But if you dig into the British, especially the British upper classes, especially Parliament, the whole thing is filled with this weird boy sex. And there are lots of Jews around that. Lots of Jews around that. And you'll find that where the Jews are, there's strange sex. And this thing of having sex with men, gays and Jews, are also another topic. And here in South Africa, I've come across gays, and gays also becoming extremely rich. I think that's also another trend. There's definitely a Jewish and gay alliance. In that video that I did with Dr. Peter Hammond, he mentioned that this law in South Africa, this hate speech law, was originally brought up by that same South African Jewish Board of Deputies. They were the ones who want this hate speech law in South Africa. But the minister, the deputy minister, who's actually involved in this and pushing it, he said that this Jewish organization and a gay organization were behind the hate speech laws. They are the ones who want to get South Africans chucked in jail for what you say on the internet, on the social media. They want you in jail. So you'll see this gay and Jewish thing. The Jews and the gays seem to be allied and working together, but not just in South Africa. And it seems to me there's also big money involved there. So lots of food for thought. So that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Take care of yourselves. We'll be chatting again soon.